Such a powerful word this morning. It's almost more than we can handle. But it's such a good word, too. We are His workmanship. But before we can become His workmanship, we have to realize what comes before that. And that is, by grace are you saved, and it's through faith. You know, a lot of people say, my salvation, but it's not really yours, it's God's salvation. And God is doing a work in you. He is holding your salvation as a gift to bestow upon you completely, dress you completely, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, to clothe us completely when we transcend into His kingdom forever. So we're working toward a building. You ever heard that song, I'm a-working on a building up in heaven? Or, I don't know if that's the melody, but you know, it's a song. And he talks about, Paul does, that God is going to clothe us with a heavenly dwelling. In Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about we're all going to be changed. This body must put on a new body, changed from one glory to another. The earthly must put on the heavenly. And it's a real powerful understanding that God has begun something in us, that He's preparing us to be clothed with a new body. But that starts by grace through faith. In other words, believing that God is going to do it for you. That God is going to do it in you. And God is going to do it lest anyone else should boast that they did it themselves. You cannot save yourself. Only God can. And you cannot save somebody else. Only God can. I can't believe for you. Only you can believe for you. Right? I can't give you what God has for you. If I could, we'd all be here doing everything like God says because I would give it to you. I can't do that. It is your choice to receive the blessing in faith. Once that happens, what Paul says is, once that happens, we are His workmanship. That means God begins working on us. That we are created then in Christ unto some good works, which God has ordained that we should walk as His children in those good works. And that's a good thing. Now the best thing about it is God says He's going to make those works happen for us. If you look in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it talks about some of those things that He's going to do. First of all, He's going to take away your fear of condemnation. That you're no longer worthy. That you think that God can't bless you, or that you're not saved, or that you don't belong. It says clearly in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Ever heard that verse before? That's a good verse to memorize if you haven't. For there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Which means God is working in you by His Holy Spirit. If God's Holy Spirit is working in you, you begin to be more loving, more generous, looking after the things of the kingdom rather than the things of this earth. And you begin to understand that God has a place and purpose and everything is happening for a reason. And that's a good thing. God is setting us free to do good works for Him. And sometimes people come up to me and say, how do you know if you're really saved? In Romans chapter 8, it goes on to tell you how. It says in verse 15, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And it says in the very next verse, that the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are God's children. So one of the best gifts and the first gifts that comes with the gift of faith and grace that God puts in us is that we belong to God. And if we belong to God, God is going to make us His children. He's going to workmanship us and create us anew in Jesus Christ. You've read 2 Corinthians 5:17 where it says, we are now therefore a new creation. The old has passed away. Right? If God is creating us in Christ for good works, He's dealing away with the works that were unfruitful. God is blessing us in very powerful ways to become a new creation. We do not know, says Paul, what we will be like. But when we see Him, we'll know, as just as we are known. We don't know what God is ultimately going to turn us out to be like, which means we're not the architect. We're not going to determine how it goes. God does. And if God is the one who determines how it goes, He's written the blueprint of our lives, and He's trying to lead us along to construct in us the building that God has created us to be for Him as His temple, then He has to be the one who reads the blueprint and works on us through the Holy Spirit. I don't see anywhere in that where it says, I gotta do this. The only thing I have to do is let God mold me and let me be fertile ground for God's work. That wherever He sends, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll follow. Whatever He tells me, I'll do. That's all that's required, is to be obedient. We are not the master builder. Scripture tells us over and over again, Jesus is the master builder. And God is creating us in Jesus to be His holy temple. If you ever read in Peter, he talks about how we're all built together as believers into the body as lively stones. And lively stones means like a stone that can still change form and change and glow with the essence of the building that it is becoming. We are lively stones. God is still polishing us, changing us, molding us to be the building where Christ inhabits. And it says in Hebrews 11 that only in conjunction with all believers do we become perfected in Jesus. That we all must come together to be the body for Christ to be the head. And if we're going to fit in our part of that building, isn't it true that whoever knows what the building looks like is going to have to shape us to fit in the right place? Yeah. God's going to have to do some work on us. And that's a good thing. Because when He works on us, He gets rid of blemishes. He polishes us after we're done with the blemishes. But for a while, we have to see that we're willing, if you will, to be a stone like clay. If you notice, in the time of Pharaoh, when they began building pyramids, that they built the bricks for the pyramid. They did not dig them out of a quarry and drag them somewhere. They built them. And they used straw sometimes until Pharaoh got upset. Then he took their straw away. But they built the brick. And they took raw material. When we come to Jesus, we're raw material. We are not yet what we could be, but all that we need is present. And God begins to mix in grace and peace and serenity and long-suffering and love and gentleness into us. And with those proper mixture in each one of us, each in a different amount, we are molded. Some of us are very good at being gentle. And we don't need that gift as much. But what we do need is the gift of patience. Or some of us are very patient and we need the gift of steadfastness because we don't endure real well. There's something that God has to add to each of us. That's why the Spirit has 9 different fruit. Because where we are lacking, the Spirit supplies. Don't miss that. Where we are lacking, God supplies. And so it's okay to come before God and say, God, make me more loving. Because He's going to supply what you need. What you're short of. It's up to Him to provide the difference. Remember, it's not of our works, lest anyone should boast, but it's God creating in us a new workmanship in Christ Jesus. And that's a good thing. If you take a look, and this is where it all starts to come together for me, and I really like this. Because a couple weeks ago I got this verse, and it's like become my motto. And I spoke about it a little bit last week. It's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says in there, after the great faith folks are talked about, that these witnesses of faith are around us, and it says to lay aside every weight and the sin which easily besets us, holds us back, right? And it says to run the race that is set before us with patience. And then listen to this. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, I always thought when I read that verse that faith was the big picture of what everybody believes. It doesn't mean that. This is a very personal verse. That Jesus gave you the seed of faith and He's going to complete your faith. That He's going to take your faith and change it and mold it as it needs to be. He's the author of your faith and He finishes it off. If you've ever done concrete work, when you pour it into the molding, well, Jesus is saying, I've molded your faith. I've placed out the mold before the concrete of faith was ever put into you. And now the concrete is put into the mold and it needs finished. It needs worked. If you all ever saw someone who didn't finish the concrete, it looks like it's pretty rough. But the better mix, the stronger the mix, the more bags per truck, if you will, per mix, the thicker, the smoother, the finer the finished product will be. And so if you let Jesus keep giving you more of grace and faith, you get more stuff with which to finish the product. He's adding to us. He's not taking away, He's adding. And we got a measure of faith. It says every man is given a measure of faith, but He's adding more. And it doesn't say that you have to have but a grain of the mustard seed of faith, and then when God begins to add to it, it becomes like a tree. Huge. God adds. We don't. All we have to do is have that measure and use it and let God add more. And then, whenever that concrete's poured, sometimes you might see folks with a long 2x4. Y'all, Al, you know about this, don't you? You take that and set it on the edges of the mold. Tim knows a little bit about concrete work. I'm sure some more of us do. Shorty, I'm sure you do. And if y'all ladies who haven't worked with concrete have seen it, they take that board and they start sliding it back and forth. What's it doing? It's settling the concrete and smoothing it off. And after a while, the kids come along and put their initials in there because it's still soft. But something else happens. If you got a good concrete, man, he's got a trowel. Yeah, it's been smoothed by the board, but it's not smooth enough. Still work to be done. So here comes the trowel. And you start smoothing it off some more. And if it doesn't look right, you add some water and smooth it off some more. You're getting this thing nice for its purpose. Jesus is doing that with us. He's putting in us as the mold, dumping in some faith on top of our measure of faith. He's taking the board and getting the rough spots out first, the very immediate stuff. And then He's going to take some perfecting techniques. And you say, what are those? What smooths this off? Scripture tells us that not only is Jesus the author and finisher of our faith, but if you take a look back to where we started in Ephesians, it tells us. Now you might say, well, preacher, why don't you tell us where rather than us looking around? But listen carefully. You have to move a little bit away from chapter 2 because Paul takes a while to tell you how to finish the work. It goes all the way into chapter 6. You see, he's giving practical instruction on how Christ works. But in chapter 6, he tells you how the finishing work occurs on the building, which he's making us. And he says that you have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, which we've been talking about, God doing the work. And then he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, here's where he tells us how this finishing work begins. He says, we're not wrestling anymore against flesh and blood. But when we begin to wrestle with principalities and powers, and spiritual forces in high places, and against rulers of the darkness of this world, when we begin to wrestle with those things, that wrestling is saying, here's something that could steal the faith and the concrete work that God is pouring into us because He still hadn't finished this. But in that wrestling, that's the water being poured on and the trowel being smoothing the surface. And if you will, if there needs to be a line in there, sometimes those lines go in the edge at that time. But this is God having us wrestle with the things that we can't defeat. We cannot defeat spiritual wickedness in high places. We cannot defeat principalities and powers. We cannot do it. But we wrestle with them so that when we realize we can't beat them, we say, Jesus, You take care of them and me. But that struggle to understand that there are things of mass prejudice or people who don't like certain people because of where they're from, and anti-Semitism and meanness and Muslims hating other people and other people hating Muslims. We can't do anything about that, but we got to wrestle with it till we find peace inside that Jesus is Lord of that too. And that's that trial moving back and forth saying, you may have some uneasiness, but God is working it out for you. That's a good thing. Because we're wrestling against something we can't beat. But it says that while that wrestling is going on, and that's what we do wrestle against, we're no longer wrestling against physical things. But we're on a spiritual plane now. A smooth plane sometimes. But we're above the simple, do not do this, do not do that, touch not, taste not, eat not. We're above that. We're moving beyond that to a plane where our lives are being attacked and we're wrestling with the devil and his wiles. When we get to that plane, it says, you got to take on this armor so that when the evil comes, on the evil day. Now, I used to wonder what he meant by the evil day. Well, I thought, you know, that's the end times, you know, and the evil day is the day that you get attacked. That's the day. When Satan's got his eye on you and says, you got some, you belong to God, and you got some faith, and I see Jesus starting to work on you, and you're letting Him, and I'm going to show you that you don't need to do that, because if you do that, then I can't beat you. And so, the devil comes along, and that's the evil day. Any day that the devil come against you is an evil day. And he says, having done all that you're withstanding, that you're still standing. Why? Because you now have God's protection on you.